Welcome to the podcast of the HOB Erasmus Plus Youth e-learning platform, fostering e-learning in youth work around Europe and beyond.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to today's issue of our podcast when we discuss spatial platforms, spatial, not special, platforms online where you can meet and live with other people. And today's, my name is Carmine Rodi, and I'm very happy to host this podcast for Salto. And today's guest is my very good friend, Michele Di Paola. Hello, Michele, how are you?
Hi, fine, I would say. Thank you for having me, and hi, everybody who's listening here.
Michele Di Paola, where do you live at the moment?
I am in a small town north of Milan, so Italy, Milan area, let's say.
Italy, Milano. And you are a trainer, facilitator, youth worker. Describe yourself a little bit.
Yeah, the long list of things I've done in my life and I'm still doing. But basically, I would say, yes, I'm working as a youth worker for my local organization, Spazio Giovani, here since years and years. Now I'm more doing like project coordinator for the organization. And since a few years already, I've been working as a freelance trainer in the Erasmus circuit, let's say, with a focus, which is also my ongoing passion about digital, you know, tools and spaces and whatsoever. And
digital and everything.
Yeah, digital everything. And then how to mix it up with life, with youth work and with community activities and learning activities and so on.
We've been friends for a long, long time. We've met 20 years ago, Michele, when we were both working for the Eurodesk network in Italy.
And we both have hairs, but they don't see them. So
we used to. We used to have hair. Well, both of us. And I know I don't want to use the word gurus, I would use the word master Jedi. In all things geek, and that's how we met, and that's how we are still friends. So today with you, we want to talk about a platform to meet people online, which is a little bit different from the others, because this is actually a video game.
Yes, indeed. It's a video game called Minecraft, which is only the most sold video game ever in video games history so far, at least.
That's right. And it's currently owned by Microsoft, nonetheless, yes. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It was developed by a Swedish studio. So it's an European project just for a change in a world where video games used to be developed by this huge multinational corporation, which are normally based in the US.
Or this Japan, one, right? Japan.
Oh, yeah, or Japan, yes. And this one was developed by this studio Mojang in Sweden by one single programmer back then, Marcus Persson, or aka Notch, in 2011. But it then quickly became a sensation and very huge until Microsoft bought the whole studio, actually, not only the game,
sure,
for the outrageous amount of money of $2.5 billion of 2014.
Outrageous back then, because now the acquisitions of video game studios are for 10 times more.
Exactly, because still Microsoft is doing it and they just acquired other big brands for 10,000 more, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so it started as a European independent project and then it became mega and now it's owned by Microsoft. So what does it mean? Is it free to play?
Not really. You have to buy it. There are several versions and I'm using, so I will refer from now on to the so-called Java edition, which is the original edition made for computers, so PC and Linux and Mac, encoded with the Java language. And you can buy it for one-time purchase of €24.
24
point something, yes.
Euros. And I can see it's on Minecraft.net, but it's also on many of the major video game platforms. Can I buy it on, on Steam?
You can buy it as an independent program that you execute directly, or you can find it on, I guess, every video games online store like Steam, like Epic, and whatsoever.
If I have a PlayStation or an Xbox, can I also play?
Yes, but as I said, there are different platforms, and the one I'm referring to is meant for computers only. So there are editions for consoles, and there are editions for mobile devices, but they're not talking
mutually,
to each other.
They're not mutually compatible. So exactly. if I am hosting on PC, people on mobile cannot join, and vice versa.
Exactly, and then the same on console. So this is one of the most debated issues in the worldwide community of players. The Java edition alone sold 250 million copies. So there's a lot of people playing Minecraft, actually.
250 million users only with the Java edition. Okay, so if I want to host a group, me, myself, as a youth worker or a teacher, and everybody else has to own a copy.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That's the way.
So this is a little bit a barrier to access, yeah, I would say, no?
It is indeed.
How do you do it? How do you do it for youth work? You ask every family to buy it, or how does it work?
Yeah, what I'm normally doing is this. I've been using Minecraft as a setting, let's say, for summer edition activities, like summer camps, something like that. 1 week of activity with a group of young people, meeting every day in the morning and in the afternoon online inside the game, which is an online game too. And so the chances are that either every participant comes with their own both version of the game.
Yeah.
And most of them, since the big amount of players anyway, are already owning it from before.
Yeah.
Or during the years, I bought myself a number of licenses. So I have a package of like 15, 20, I don't even remember exactly, licenses that I can either borrow or arrange with my contractor.
You can borrow a copy legally.
I don't know. That's a bit of a shady
situation. It's a gray area. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have my paid and licensed copy. So it's not so clear if I can ask someone to play using my own password for a while. That's why I'm always preferring to have people buying the copy.
Okay. It's clear. It's a little bit like Netflix. Like, it's not recommended to share accounts, but sometimes it happens. And anyway, we're talking about the fair use, I would say. No, it's for educational purposes. Mm-hmm. So it's a legal copy. It's not downloaded illegally.
Exactly.
And so you can share.
That's my point. I've paid for my licenses. So I guess that if I borrow for a few days one license for an educational activity, paying for it, I guess nobody would ever be upset with me. But anyway, if a participant or their own youth centers or whatever can afford €24 for one time purchase, then of course.
Are there school packages? Like, a school could buy 20 licenses for a special price?
Well, that's a very interesting story, because one of the reasons why Microsoft bought the Mojang Studio and Minecraft, actually, was that the community developed a mod, so a modification of the game, which included educational features. And the mod was called Minecraft Edu. And with this mod that you had to install manually in the game, you could have group control features. So one would be the leader, the trainer, and then you could freeze players or move players from one place to the other, give items to player, or deactivate some particular features like exploding blocks that could ruin hours and hours of building, because you go there and you bomb everything with that. This was very interesting. It was developed by a group of teachers across Norway and Finland, so border country to Sweden. Everything happened up there.
Yeah.
And it proved to be very, very effective and interesting in education. So Microsoft bought the studio mainly to create their own Microsoft Education Edition that they recoded into their own C# programming language, getting rid of Java and also making it completely closed and not moddable anymore. And then they started offering packages to school with quite cheap prices, like I guess 5 or something like that euro per license per student, and giving lectures and courses and training to teachers about how to use them at school. But then I kind of lost track of the project, and I'm afraid it's been put on ice lately, so I don't know if it's still.
I cannot find it actually right now.
Exactly.
But I don't know if I'm not looking in the right place, but I can't find a package license. You can find a, you can have a free trial version. But okay, thank you for this. Okay, so how does it look visually? Now it's this 3D world, a little blocky, which is now a classic.
No, exactly.
You create your own avatar.
That's the idea of Minecraft, and that's also one of the reasons why it's so famous. This is this blocky world, which somehow resembles Lego bricks.
That's right.
That's exactly the concept behind it. So a sandbox game, as they say, a place where you build up your own game, creating stuff. So with the blocks, you can build stuff. And also your character is a bit blocky, so there's nothing really customizable about it except your dress, let's say.
Color, no hair. And
yeah, so there are a few websites that allows you to change completely the appearance, but still being blocky as it was meant to be.
It's, so it's a trademark. No, it's a huge 3D world. Is it without borders? You can walk and walk and walk forever?
Not really, but you can build very large world, so it will take a lot of time to reach an actual border. So let's say potentially borderless, but still it has borders connected to the physical limitation to the server machine, which is actually running the world. So
and let's go to your experience, if you don't mind. So what you invite a group of people, let's say young people, so it's a summer camp. Even though the funny thing about Minecraft, you can do a summer camp even if it's winter outside, because
that would be a winter camp.
it's a summer in the game. And then what happens? Everybody pops up and
normally I do like this. So I do a parallel Zoom call, so I get the young people in the Zoom call, mm-hmm. and I of course do some youth work with them, so getting to know each other, a bit of energizing the group and so on.
Breaking the ice.
Yeah, exactly. And so once they are a bit more of a group, I start inviting them into a Minecraft server that I previously prepared. And then I have to explain how, but I will get to it soon. The group is normally not so big, so 10 to 15 people. That's the number I found.
That's what you recommend, 10 to 15.
Exactly. I have to say that I also presented this kind of activity during the last tool fair in Portugal. And the group of youth workers and trainers attending the demonstration was a bit bigger than that. And it proved to myself once more that the group should be not more than 15 people, I would say.
That's true. But I was reading a study, even on Zoom, a session is not interactive anymore after 10 people.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There seems to be a threshold around 10, 12, where it starts to become a group lecture rather than an interactive session.
That's the number I would stick to. So once the group is done, I invite them into the server, and I will soon get to explain how to set up one. And then while in the server, you are basically in the game, so the Zoom call stays so that they can talk to each other while being in the game. But of course,
you cannot talk in the game.
No, there is no direct way of voice speaking to each other.
Uh-huh.
And this can happen through external addings, but then Zoom will be our external adding of
Zoom. So you would still use camera and microphone on a parallel Zoom session where everybody's there and they can see their face playing the game. So it's fun.
Well, normally we also, to save some bandwidth, we say switch off the cameras and just keep the voice on, and then put your screen, the Minecraft screen, on widescreen so that you can see the world with the eyes of your character.
Right. Okay. So zoom in what's happening on screen. And then you see all these little miniatures. Everybody has their name on top. So I know that I have Michele in front of me, or Giovanni,
exactly,
or whatever.
Or whatever nickname you will pick, because of course, most of
sure.
them use
oh,
nickname.
Sure. Sure. And then what do you do?
And then during the 5 days, normally from Monday to Friday, during which I developed this activity, I challenge them to create stuff, to build stuff, to develop stuff as a group, more and more as a group, in the world. So the first task would be everybody build up your house. and create a village. Your houses should have some common features. So have, I don't know, two stories and have a little garden around and blah, blah, blah. And be not so close to each other, but in the same area anyway. And you have some time to do it. And it's also a way to measure the skills, because someone is very much into Minecraft, so very good at building. Others, maybe not so much. Someone is the first time ever they got to play the game. Yeah. So it's a kind of also a measuring how good they are with the game.
So it's a way to develop digital skills very quickly. In your experience, how long does it take to learn the game if I've never seen it?
In one session, maximum two, meaning one day. So we normally play 2 hours in the morning, play, I don't know if it's play anyway. The activity lasts normally 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon. And after one or two sessions, so 2 to 4 hours, everybody is able to use the game and develop whatever they want.
Would you also send written instructions so that people don't get lost, or they have somewhere a track of what the task is and times and so on?
Well, not really. Not really, because these can be given through the chat system. There is a written chat system inside. So what I do is I say stuff, but I also write down stuff in the chat so they can retrieve the information and the tasks.
I see. Sometimes with these platforms, a problem is that people wander off. So what happens if a participant just goes away or can find their way, you lose them?
Yeah, this is where the role, you know, of facilitator of the activity kicks in, because first of all, I establish a starting place, meaning that everybody will enter the game in the same place. And this can be done in the server, setting up the server. Also, as a way to easily find the place, I put a light beacon there, which is something that you can build up in the game. So there will be this
like a torch. Yeah,
I'm a very big one going up in the sky. I usually make like two or three of them close so that it's immediately easy to see, you know, where to go if you're lost.
And when you create a dedicated server, there are no other players, so only your people are invited.
Exactly. And then it's time to explain a bit about how to do it. You can do it on your own machine also. Because you can have a Minecraft session going on your computer and then decide to open to local area network. This is how they say, meaning that every other computer connected to the same network or the same Wi-Fi, for instance, and playing Minecraft would recognize that there is a world of Minecraft available there and would allow you to connect there. But then
everybody on the same Wi-Fi. So this is good for hotel, congress, seminar,
youth centers. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Instead, if you have people far from each other, as in my case, last time I did it, I had people from Puglia, which is in the very south of Italy, to I guess the most farther was in the area of Venice, which is the opposite side.
How do you do then? You send an invite?
Yes, but I create a server using online services. Mm-hmm. There are ways to open up the server with your computer to online connection from far, but it's a bit tricky, mm-hmm. So I wouldn't recommend it. The easiest way is definitely to, as I said, buy a service that would create a Minecraft server for you. Prices are quite cheap. It can also be free, but of course you have limitation of number of players, of time for playing. Otherwise, 5 to 10 euros per month will allow you to have a proper server working with no limitation.
So it's for somebody who plans to do it, no? 5 to 10 euros. Exactly. But I see there is a lot of resources online. Also, for example, the official website offers DLC, which are downloadable contents, and there's a pack for climate change challenge crisis, basically, so people get to play Minecraft in a context where, you know, forests are disappearing, there are fires, and you have to work to contrast it. So it's really meant to educate people and young people in particular to climate change?
Yeah, the point is that once you establish your server and you have the URL, so the address to give your participants so that they can connect to your world, then you can set up your world however you wish. So you can create a huge forest, or you can create a desert, or you can create a big city. And there is a lot of material available online developed by the community, which having 250 million people playing, it's super huge community.
So if I start, I can find a lot of resources to start building my world.
Yeah, exactly. There are websites providing whole ready-made world that you can import on your game.
For free, or on your server.
So, for instance, I got my players once to be into, I don't know, Hogwarts Castle, and another time we were on the Death Star, and of course this is super impacting. You know, when you open up the world for the first time, you ask the people just go around and explore the world, and in 15 minutes you will tell me all the strange things that you will find there. And you prepare there, you know, a TIE fighter, Hogwarts Castle, and
Can you share music in the background?
No, but since you have Zoom open, you can do there. So
you would do that. You keep that for audio channel. Yeah, I think we're running out of time. So this is super interesting. You are obviously an expert user. So if I'm a total beginner, but I'm fascinated by this world, what's your estimation? How long will I need to learn how to host sessions on Minecraft?
Well, if you know how to play, so I would say first you get to know how to play. And then, as I said, getting to know how to play takes maybe one day. Then it's very easy because you understand the features of the world, and maybe another day, I would say, of dedication can tell you whatever you need to know. Also, as I said, there is a lot of materials online, so you can learn a lot just going on YouTube and watching
videos and so on. Yeah. So let's estimate 2 or 3 days of self-learning, and then one is proficient and they can host sessions. Yeah. We are almost finishing. So tell us your favorite anecdote while using it.
Yeah, one last thing I want to share is that there are different ways of playing. So there is a survival mode in which you have to fight enemies and also other players. But there is a creative mode, which is the one I prefer. So all the efforts are devoted to creation, building, and so on, without having to worry about creatures attacking you or enemies.
You can decide when you create the world, you can decide exactly which mode. Yeah. Exactly. So we invite players to be creative, use resources rather than fight and compete.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. Very good point.
Nice anecdotes. One is positive and one a bit less positive. The positive one is that I have one group who made a very good job to create their own village with all the different castles. They made castles that time, but they were a bit far from each other. And so I challenged them one of the last days of the activity to build a transport system to connect all the castles. And then they came up with an underground train system.
Underground?
Yes.
So they were digging tunnels in the
city. Yeah, they spent one day in digging tunnels and creating rail tracks. And there is a material in the game which is kind of resembling electricity, so you can share
energy.
Exactly. It's the redstone block. And they powered all the system with redstone blocks, so it was completely automated. And it was going in circles, and you can hop on, hop off on the...
That's fantastic. And the negative story?
Well, the negative is only connected, you know, to the computer malfunctioning. So one time I had one guy which was home alone with his granny, and the computer all of a sudden stopped. But I mean, the game stopped, but the computer was still going. So I had him on Zoom. And I had to deal with this, I don't know, 80 plus years old granny, and explain to her how to restart the game or eventually reboot the computer. And that was a bit complicated, you know, because, you know, there are all the kids connected with me that try to give their own advices to the grandmother.
That's fantastic. So you were doing tech help with the grandmother of a user online. Yeah. That's fantastic. Last question, because we're finishing. I want to challenge you a little bit. After the pandemic, 2 years of mostly working and staying online, do you think we need to encourage young people to spend even more time online?
Well, it's not...
What's your honest take on this problem?
My honest opinion is that it's not about more or less time. It's about what you do in that time. So, for instance, this can be an activity that you can do all together in the same room, connected to different laptops in a youth center. And, for instance, there is one that has been made in Finland recently, and you get to redesign the public spaces of your town inside Minecraft. So you can sit there all together in the youth center facing each other and maybe talking to each other in real time with your real voices, and meanwhile building in the game something together which has a meaning also for for the outside world. There are so many ways to be creative and using the tool for what it is. And then, of course, you play 2 hours there and then you go outside and play 2 hours soccer in the fields. It's not forbidden, no?
So it's still important to remember there is parenting, there is education, there is youth work. And so we need to provide also balance.
Yeah, no, of course. But that's also why I tend not to use more than 2 hours, because then the rest of the time shouldn't be screen time, also for, you know, health reasons. It's 2 hours staring in the computer, it's kind of enough. And then you stand up, you move around, you do something together. Also during the activities, from time to time, every 20 minutes, half an hour, I tell them, now it's time to stand up, leave there your computer, walk to the kitchen, get a glass of water, do 13 jump, getting back to your position, and then you can sit down again and go on playing.
So fantastic. And I think this is a very good facilitation tip in general for all those who are involved in digital work. Well, we are out of time, but thank you so much, Michele. This was very informative and fun, and I hope we have inspired more people to not be afraid of this platform and try and experiment, which is all Minecraft is about in the end. So thank you very much for being with us and sharing your experience using Minecraft for youth work and learning. And I wish you and everybody a very good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the HOP Erasmus Plus Youth e-learning platform. More episodes and inspiring materials about e-learning curated for the needs of youth workers are available on our Facebook page. Visit HOP Platform and stay tuned.